The melody comes to your head. Okay, maybe your heart, too. The beat comes to your body. We count on percussion, no pun intended, to give us keys to understanding and appreciating most music. Our guests this hour have devoted their lives to percussion, and we'll get to hear from them and hear some of their work. Terry Longshore at Southern Oregon University and Ivan Trevino at Austin, Texas, are both parts of this Saturday's Southern Oregon University Percussion Festival, all day Saturday at the SOU Music Recital Hall. We'll get further details of the festival in the hour. Let's meet the people. Terry Longshore is professor of music at Southern Oregon University, percussionist, composer, and much more. I could read about a page of your stuff, but they've been here many times. Terry Longshore, welcome back.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Thank you.
Good to have you here. Ivan Trevino is percussionist, composer, educator, and much more. Both of these guys have played and performed and recorded around the world. Ivan Trevino, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
So, Terry, let's begin with the weekend event. This is not just a performance. First of all, it's free to the public, and it's got a bunch of different layers to it.
Correct. It is a festival for high school percussionists who will be performing all day on Saturday. We'll have student solo performers beginning at 9:30 in the morning, and then a lunch break, and then student ensemble performers starting at 1:10 p.m., and then the Southern Oregon University Percussion Ensemble, Left Edge Percussion, myself, and Ivan Trevino will perform at 4:15 p.m.
Have you and Ivan worked and played together much?
We have worked together. I've commissioned a piece from Ivan in the past, and we've known each other for probably about 8 to 10 years. But this will be the first time that we get to perform together, so I'm super excited about that.
Ivan, talk about performing and percussion generally. What drew you to percussion instruments?
Well, my dad was a gospel musician, so growing up, there was instruments all around the house. And I just sort of gravitated to the drums. They were always there. They were loud. They were fun. It kept me active, and I started playing, I think, when I was 2 years old, and I've been playing ever since, and I feel so fortunate that music was part of my life at such a young age, and that I'm able to continue to do it.
Now, you did teach. Is your bio up to date at the moment you're working for instrument companies?
Well, the way it works is sometimes an instrument company will make you a brand ambassador. So they'll supply you with instruments and sometimes supply you with funding to go around and travel and use their instruments. So essentially that's what that is. And I think Terry has similar things as well. We sort of sponsor these companies, or they sponsor us, I should say, and help us do a lot of different activities, such as the percussion festival that we're going to talk about, and various other things as well. So that's a big part of what we do as percussionists is work with other people and companies that help us do what we do.
Who are the sponsors then for the Percussion Festival, Terry?
We have sponsoring this festival Yamaha, Zildjian, Remo, Vic Firth, Black Swamp, and I think that's it for this one.
Okay, I recognize a couple of those names, like Zildjian cymbals and stuff like that, yeah. I always hesitate to hit the five-minute mark without actually getting some music in a session in which we're talking about music. So let me bring in a little bit of Ivan Trevino's work here. This is a clip from Wildlings played with Michael Burritt on drums and conga. Okay, so Ivan, both Terry's and my heads were bobbing along here. This is a question I've probably asked Terry many times, I think. What time signatures do you tend to work in when you're composing?
It's always different, honestly, Jeffrey. I think it just sort of depends on what the music calls for. I know for me personally, compared to maybe some other contemporary percussionists who might really explore a ton of different time signatures sort of all at once, I tend to keep it a little more simple. My background comes from pop music and songwriting in addition to contemporary percussion. So I think there's always sort of a grounded groove in a lot of my music. That was in 3/4, I believe. But it does change a lot, and I think it depends on again, what the music is calling for.
You mentioned popular music and some other stuff. You composed, there's a children's book project or something, isn't there?
Yeah, that's right. I did. I wrote a children's story. It's called Space Junk, and I set it to music. So it's a piece that gets performed. It's been performed around the world. I'm very fortunate about that. But it's my first sort of exploration into writing and storytelling. And that's been a great project as well. And it's currently being illustrated, and I'm going to release a book to go along with the project as well. So I'm very excited about that.
Ivan Trevino and Terry Longshore are guests on the Jefferson Exchange. They'll be featured at the end of the SOU Percussion Festival on Saturday at the Southern Oregon University Music Recital Building. Let me take us up to the break with another Ivan piece. This is Ivan playing solo on marimba. It's called Anthem. This will take us up to the break here on the Jefferson Exchange. We'll come back and talk more with Ivan and Terry about percussion and love of music. This is the Jefferson Exchange. Ivan, I wanted to ask you about something that you have on your website about the first thing you played at the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York, the story of the first note you played or intended to play in concert. What happened? Ivan, you there? Did we lose Ivan? Nope. Ivan Trevino, calling Ivan Trevino. Looks like we lost Ivan. He might have thought we were done here. Terry, is there a story that corresponds to that in your career? Some strange moment when you first decided to perform in your first performance?
Well, I started similar to Ivan. I grew up with music in my house. There was all my older siblings played music, guitar, piano, etc. My dad played guitar. Everyone sang. My mom played piano. So I grew up with music happening everywhere. So when I was about 3 or 4 years old, as I'm told, I started plunking along on the piano along with my older brother's Elvis Presley records and figuring out melodies. And so when I was 5, I decided I wanted to take piano lessons, and my mom got me piano lessons. So I started doing that, did that for 10 years, and then played flute, saxophone, and finally ended up in high school on percussion. But I was told that when I was 2 years old, my sister, who's a bit older than me, was dating a drummer, and they let him keep his drum set in our garage, and I guess I would go out there and play the drums, and she said at that point, this kid's going to be a drummer. Uh-huh. And, turned out to be true.
Have you ever gone back to the melody instruments? Do you still play them from time to time?
Yeah, not so much the wind instruments, although interestingly, a composer, I play in a duo with a flutist, Tessa Brinkman, called Caballito Negro, mm-hmm. and we've commissioned a piece from Ivan Trevino in the past. And last year, we premiered a piece written for us by Eric Griswold, in which she plays a little percussion and I play a little flute. So I had to break out my old flute, which I still had, and dust it off and kind of get some chops back.
Wow, that's impressive, picking it up after all these years.
Yeah, and I still play piano, but just for fun, not in public.
Not for other people. Ivan Trevino, you're back with us?
I sure am. Sorry about that.
No problem. I was trying to get the story in here that you put on your website of the first note you intended to play at the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York. What happened?
Well, it wasn't great. You know, I think it only went up from there, but I just totally whiffed on one cymbal note, and my stick went flying into the wind ensemble, into the euphonium section, and that was it. Yeah, and I remember the euphonium player sort of reaching back and handing me the stick, and it was just, I was really embarrassed, and it was my first time at Eastman, and I didn't really feel like I belonged there. But it really, you know, I think it was only uphill from there, so, yeah.
Why didn't you feel like you belonged there?
Well, I feel like my background was quite different than some of the other musicians at the school. I had just started playing classical percussion, like my junior year in high school. I was really far behind in terms of sight reading and just in terms of knowing the instrument. I played a lot of drum set before and saxophone, but this was very fresh for me. And honestly, I had never played in an orchestra until I got to Eastman. So they were playing this very heavy orchestral music, which was beautiful, but it was so foreign to me. So there was a lot of reasons why I felt just a little different there, I think. But I think I did belong. I think I came from a different perspective, that's all, and it took me a little bit to adjust.
And you got, 2 degrees there and then continue to teach as well?
Yeah, exactly. So I did a double major when I was there originally, music education and music performance. Then I went back and studied with a different percussion teacher and got my master's in percussion performance. And now I write music, which is crazy because that's not really what I studied, but that's my job now is composing music. And I actually publish my own music as well. So if people are interested in playing it, they buy it directly from me. So I have this really sort of run a publishing company in addition to performing and writing. So
you're a fully vertically integrated company in one person, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, these days I have another person helping me, and I have another person who is in New York who does my printing and shipping. So it's turned into a small business, which is kind of cool.
And it's fun. Ivan Trevino joins us by phone. Terry Longshore is here in the studio, both performing and teaching as well at the Southern Oregon University Percussion Festival Saturday from 9 to 4:30. Soloists first, ensembles at 1:10, and then the pros up at 4:15 in the afternoon. We're going to hear more from Ivan Trevino. I want to make sure we get the home team acknowledged here, though, too, because Terry's Left Edge Percussion will be performing as well. And so here's a clip of Left Edge Percussion from Southern Oregon University performing Kangarupak Sarda. And the crowd goes wild with a Left Edge Percussion playing Kangarupak Sarda. So, Terry, was that your own composition?
It is, yes.
Okay. With the words there, I kind of gave it away. I still have the memory of you with the This Is Not Jazz thing that we played a few years ago.
Yeah, and that's Ivan Trevino's piece.
Is it really?
Jazz. Yeah.
Oh, that's
that
excellent.
Yeah, that's right. There's the small world, right?
Okay, I did not realize. I always thought that was a Terry thing. That's great. So, Terry, talk about your composition process, and is it different when you're composing for a group versus stuff you do individually?
Yeah, every piece is different for me. I write solo pieces, ensemble pieces, different things. It all depends on the setting I'm composing for, and also the inspiration behind the piece. So that particular one, Kangarupak Sarda, was written for an ensemble in Australia called Bada Boom Percussion, based at the Queensland Conservatorium in Brisbane. And I went and premiered that with them there, and then Left Edge Percussion played it after that here. And it's highly influenced and inspired by the classical music of India, but is an original composition.
What are the traits that make for a good percussionist? I'm going to ask you both this. Terry first.
Wow, good question. I would say good groove, good sense of time, good sense of breath, and melodic expression, whether you're playing a melodic instrument like the marimba or a snare drum, mm-hmm. a sensibility of how to make music with either a very diverse set of timbres and instruments or a very limited one.
That's an interesting term you use, a breath. I mean, we're not talking woodwind instruments, but you're talking about giving the music a chance to breathe, in essence, giving some spaces in there?
Exactly, and having a sense of breath to your playing, in your body, how you prepare to make a stroke on an instrument, that's informed by your breath and has a sense of being alive when you play it.
Is it sort of like tennis players? You want the good exhale on the actual beat?
Could be, yeah, sure.
So, Ivan Trevino, how about you? What do you think makes for a good percussionist?
I mean, I think Terry nailed it. I think something that I think about a lot and something that I teach to students is we essentially have two metronomes in our bodies. We have one that we're thinking about in our head. We're thinking and subdividing these rhythms. But we also have a body that we can utilize sort of in a natural way to have natural motion to help us play in time. And I think when those things work together, I think that's when we really get sort of the best kind of groove and the best sort of sound. So I think for me, just watching somebody using motion in a very natural way is I think, very indicative of how good of sound and how good of groove that percussionist is playing with.
So, Terry, you had to figure out how to fit everybody into schedules this week, and soloists first and then ensembles. So, I mean, so they've basically said, we're going to come and play our stuff, you're going to watch, and then give them some critiques?
Yeah, and I have their directors, their band directors, fill out a online form that I developed that tells me, you know, the piece name, the length of the piece, who's performing it, composer, et cetera, gives us what instruments they'll need to borrow from us, what instruments they'll bring of their own. So it's a very, very well thought out, I think, and complicated yet well organized process of getting them to register their students. And then we have all that information populated into a spreadsheet, and we can start sorting it out and figuring out where to put people in different places. And I have an amazing group of students who help run this event. It's really completely self-produced within our percussion studio. It's, of course, sponsored by the Oregon Center for the Arts, and we'll have some help with stage managers and things of that sort, especially for the late afternoon concert. But the percussion students here, there are 17 of them, and they're all helping out run the event, plan the event, and perform as well.
So I want to get back to some music here, because I've gotten to the 5-minute mark again. When you're talking about music, it's a good idea to occasionally play some too. So we're going to hear, Ivan, a full version of Crossroads, which is marimba with cajon and some bells. You playing with Bryce Turner. Anything you want us to listen for before we get into the piece?
Sure. I think since there's not a visual component, the bells that you hear are actually played by my feet. So I'm sitting down playing a cajon with my hands.
I was hoping you'd bring up the bells. They're little colored ones. They look like they're kind of like, you know, service now, ring for service bells.
Yeah, they're called death bells. And honestly, they're little children's toys. My son Henry loves to play with them. But I was thinking about a way to utilize melody, and I didn't have enough, you know, my hands were filled with the cajon and Bryce is playing marimba. So I thought, well, I have my feet, so I'm going to play them on the ground. I started experimenting with that. So that adds another, I think, melodic component to the piece.
Okay, let's hear Crossroads from Ivan Trevino with Bryce Turner. That is where Crossroads ends. That is Crossroads by Ivan Trevino, being played with Bryce Turner. Bryce Turner on the marimba and Ivan Trevino on cajon and bells. Ivan Trevino is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. I was just talking to Terry while we were listening to the piece. There's a lot of work that goes on in percussion, and you have to develop an economy of movement, it seems.
Yeah, I think that's totally correct. You have to figure out how to get your limbs doing different things. It's almost like having different people attached to you. Each limb has to have a mind of its own. And I think in writing a duo, especially like Crossroads, where there's so much accompaniment and rhythm and also some melodic things, it's really just, you know, figuring out how best to use your limbs to take care of all those different musical things.
What are the trends in what you do? Are people making more music that is primarily percussion, less, about the same? What do you see as the trends here, Ivan?
No, I mean, our art form is really young, and I think it's growing so quickly. I think people are starting to compose a ton of music for percussion. I think, it's interesting. Typically in classical music, you have everything is sort of segregated. You have performers and composers and theorists, and everybody does their own thing. But what's interesting with percussion is there's a lot of percussionists who also write their own music, and I think that's really special. And for me, like as a fan of pop and rock music, that's pretty normal. You're supposed to write your own music, mm-hmm. so I love seeing that, and I think there's definitely a trend towards that direction.
So lay out the format, if you will. We've talked sort of obliquely about it, but it's an interesting process, Terry, that you set up here for students to come in and play their work as either soloists or in groups and get some feedback.
Yeah, the impetus behind the event was to provide students with some valuable feedback, a chance to perform, a chance to get some expert feedback from professional percussionists and musicians. There's every March here, there's the district solo and ensemble competition where students on all instruments, voice, et cetera, compete and get scored and ranked, and then the top winners go on to the state competition. And so this event is a non-competitive event by design and is a chance for people to come together, perform for each other. Most of the students stay for the entire day, listen to each other perform, which I think is wonderful. And then they get feedback from three adjudicators, myself, Ivan, and another wonderful percussionist who teaches here at SOU, Brian Jeffs. We give them written feedback. We give them a brief coaching after their performance. And then we also video record everybody's performance. And immediately after the festival is over, we send the students' performances to their director so they can share them with their students. And the idea is then that they can then use all of that coaching, both verbal and written coaching that they've gotten, and watch their videos of their own performances and use that to help develop their performances for that March event in a very healthy, non-competitive atmosphere here.
So no pressure in the sense of like, you know, if they flub it up here, they're going to know and you'll tell them what they could have done better, but they're not getting scored on it. They're not going to get eliminated because of anything.
That's right.
Wow, that's fun. So talk about trends in education of percussion. I mean, are more students showing up who want to specialize in percussion?
You know, it ebbs and flows. There are, it's always, you know, a fairly healthy stream of students. I think, you know, we're seeing around the country things change a little bit in the number of people studying music. But we're also seeing other growths in interest in other areas of music, like music production and music technology and things of that sort. On the whole, we're seeing a reduction in the number of students in the college age years because of the recession we had, you know, a number of years ago. And
the dip in births
at that
time,
births,
yes.
Exactly. So that's something that all universities are grappling with and thinking about for the immediate future.
Ivan, you're not on faculty anyplace right now. Are you planning it again in the future?
You know, I don't think so. You know, I enjoyed teaching. I was teaching at Baylor University in Waco, Texas, for a little bit, and I love teaching. But you know, I think with academia, there's certain things that are tricky. And one of the things was I was an adjunct professor, and I think given that model, sometimes pay isn't great, and there's, you know, sometimes not many benefits, if any, available to teachers. And I just felt like with my writing and composing, that was, you know, that was enough for me to be able to do what I wanted to do and provide for my family and travel et cetera. And I think I enjoy the lifestyle that I'm living now, and I don't really have regrets about that. But what's nice is I still get to see students on a regular basis, and I'm not seeing them week by week, but I do get to interact with students and teach a lot, given what I do still. So I feel like I'm not missing out on the teaching component of what it is to do what I do.
Terry?
Yeah, I think Ivan is a really great model of someone who's passionate about education, but is not necessarily working in a traditional teaching environment, but has a really inspirational career. I teach a business of music course here at SOU, and every time I teach the course, Ivan is someone that I share with my students. I think he's a wonderful model of someone who, as he said, he's a self-published composer, active performer, and really is a model for these young students about how you can make a living in music in this era without a traditional, like, either teaching job or a traditional record industry model of some, you know, a major label backing you. It really is possible to have success and lead a happy life if you, you know, have the wherewithal to do it.
It's almost like the music gig economy in a sense.
Yeah.
So Ivan, I want to play another piece of yours. It'll be an excerpt from Catching Shadows, a marimba duet with Michael Burrett. What can you tell us about this before we hear it?
Yeah, I would say out of all of the pieces that I've written, I think this one might be the one that gets played the most. And I think it really sort of captures that weird space that I live in between classical music and rock music. I think this sits right in the middle. And I would say, again, like, this is the piece I think that sort of helped put my name on the map in the percussion world. And yeah, I think this would be the single, if you were to call it that, of my little, you know, of what I do.
You're making me feel guilty because I even edited it to single length.
It'd
be about 2.5 minutes of Catching Shadows we hear here.
That's
from Ivan Trevino with Michael Burrett. Ivan Trevino's Catching Shadows. That's a marimba duet with Michael Burrett, and not the entire piece either. You can find the entire piece on YouTube, as I did. That's where I cribbed all these pieces. Ivan Trevino, what is the we talked about the birthing process. We haven't talked about the gestation period, though. I mean, how long does it take to produce a piece like that?
Yeah, you know, I think it's different with every piece. Some pieces I've composed, like we played Anthem earlier, the Marimba solo. You know, honestly, I think that took a couple days. It came out really quickly and naturally. I think with Catching Shadows, that probably by the time I edited it and everything, maybe took a month or so. So it all depends. Some pieces can happen quickly, and some can take, you know, I've written pieces before that have taken a year to really sit through and get just right. So it all depends.
One of the things I noticed is that under this YouTube video, the comments included one from a student who could not play for a while because of tendonitis. I mean, this is a potentially physically taxing music to play. I mean, are injuries fairly common among people who play, Ivan?
I mean, I think it does happen, and usually it happens because of tension or, you know, because we're ignoring problems with our playing or perhaps even pain and we're trying to play through it. I think it does happen, but I will say, depending on the technique you're using and making sure you relax and using proper sort of motions, I think there's a lot of stuff that you can do to prevent some of those injuries from happening. And I think, you know, continuing to get lessons with your teacher, et cetera, can really help. Just having somebody say, hey, I think you're playing with some tension here. If you mm-hmm. relax a little bit or hold a little different, it could change the whole thing for you. So it does happen from time to time.
The visual that people didn't get with watching you play the marimba is that you're generally playing with two mallets in each hand. So you're playing a bit apart, a couple notes apart there. That looked particularly taxing to try to hold the mallet. It looks like your ring finger really is wrapped tightly around that mallet off to the side.
Well, I hope not. I think it does happen, but I think the goal is to try to make it as natural as possible, almost to have the mallets try to be an extension of your body, so to speak. But it does get challenging, and depending on the music that you're playing, some music is more difficult or more taxing or faster. But I will say four mallets, two in each hand, is becoming so common now. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's even junior high students who are starting to play four mallets, so it's becoming a big part of what percussionists do.
So in the realm of health while percussioning, Terry, I noticed in your bio you're a trained health rhythms facilitator. What is that?
That is a protocol of using the drum as a facilitation tool for working with groups of people on all kinds of different facilitations. So it could be a corporate thing. It could be an adolescent center. I use some of the techniques with my own students just for facilitating, you know, a good vibe in the ensemble. It was a really interesting thing I did a couple of years ago, a 4-day training down in Southern California that the Remo company puts on. And I thought I was going to learn how to run drum circles, and really it wasn't what it was about at all. What I learned was how to be a facilitator using the drum as a tool for that. And it was absolutely life-changing. I really enjoyed it.
Is it like a tool for people to clear their minds and you know, kind of clear the decks?
It can be. It can be a tool for expressing yourself non-verbally in a way that we don't think of it being that, not necessarily as a musical expression, but as a way to convey emotions or thoughts or feelings in a very natural way. It's a really, really interesting process.
Was there ever a second choice for other than music for you in your life?
There was, actually. My first college degree is in business, uh-huh. Computer applications, actually. And then I got hired by Wells Fargo Bank as a business loan officer, and I did that for a couple years, playing music the whole time along with that. But I didn't think music was going to be my career until I had another career and realized that music had to be my career.
And how about for you, Ivan Trevino?
You know, I there were not really a ton of other options, I think, that I wanted to do. I enjoy writing. I thought sports journalism would have been kind of cool. But music's always been there for me, and I really couldn't see myself doing anything else. So I sort of just put all of my eggs in that basket, and I'm fortunate that it has worked out.
We will roll out of the show with Ivan Trevino's Immigrant Song, which he wrote for his mother. It's a marimba solo. And remind you, too, that we're talking generally about the Southern Oregon University Percussion Festival. The soloists, 9:30 is it on Saturday?
Correct. Begins at 9:30.
And then the ensembles will be heard after 1 in the afternoon, and then the pros take the stage at 4:15?
Correct.
All right. Terry Longshore is a professor of music at Southern Oregon University, performer, composer, so much more. Business of music, obviously, in his background as well. Ivan Trevino, percussionist, composer, educator from Austin, Texas, will be joining everything. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange, and best of luck with the event on Saturday.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
And thanks again, so much.
All right, take care, Ivan. As we go out, the Immigrant Song from Ivan Trevino. This is the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for listening.